Serving Columbus for over 60 years. AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus.
Low-interest loans. Meanwhile, millions of homeowners were allowed to be thrown out of their homes by these predatory mortgages. That has not been fixed. There are 36 million students who are indentured servants because they are trapped in these loans. Instead of bailing out the banks, we should be bailing out the students and the homeowners. There are many seniors who were trapped by these predatory loans, and that has not been fixed. So it's important. You got to separate the talk from the walk. Many Democrats are loyal to the Democratic Party of 20 and 30 years ago, but unfortunately, it got bought out. It's a different animal.
Hey, Bob.
They're afraid of Mitt Romney, but that doesn't mean there's substantial differences.
I just want to let listeners know that we are running over. We have passed the noon hour, and ordinarily in this hour we would be listening to the Blue State Diner. But as host of the Blue State Diner, I'm going to concede my time to fight back, because I think the importance of having Jill Stein here on WVK is an important thing. And I'm going to just let you continue for the time being, and also ask you, Bob, if you won't stay over and be my first guest on the Blue State Diner today.
I will, and I have one last question I've been trying to ask Jill. That is, the storms in New York City, are they related to climate chaos in your view? And, of course, as we call it, global...
Bob, I'm having trouble with your mic. See if you can't get it closer there.
Hello. Again...
Yeah, it's actually not working.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why that is.
Can you, Mitt Romney!
Oh, now it's working.
Okay, it is working. I'm blaming it on Mitt Romney. Is he hooked into the Internet on these here as well? The storm in New York, predictable. How do you see that?
Yeah, it's like you don't need to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing, and we're getting hit by a storm right now. This is not rocket science. It's like, open up your eyes. This is what the future looks like. In the last 2 years, we have had 100-year storms, record-breaking storms that would be expected once every century, and we've had them in the last 2 years. There is no end to this, and in fact, the science... If you feel like you need the science, you can't believe your own eyes and ears here. The science tells us that as the oceans warm, that energy from that warmth gets translated into the atmosphere, into the wind, etc., and it creates more powerful storms. And, well, guess what? That's what we're getting, more powerful storms. They try to use the science to convince you, to stop you in your tracks, to make you think it's more complicated than what you yourself understand. And it's pretty clear to everyday people that things are... in meltdown right now, because it's not only the storms, it's a drought infecting 60% of the United States for some areas, second year in a row. That's driving up food prices. We already got a situation where 46 million Americans cannot afford to put food on their table right now, and the price is going up. 46 million Americans that need food assistance, and the price is going up because we got this entrenched drought right now. We're having the worst storms. We've got the worst fires. We're seeing extraordinary meltdown of the ice in the Arctic, which matters because as that ice goes, we lose the reflection of that big white patch. It goes away. It means we absorb more heat. This is one of those tipping points that the climate science talks about, and we are perilously close to those tipping points where it becomes impossible then to stop further warming. So it's not like you warm a degree or two and then it stops. It's like you warm and you then trigger this cycle of warming to which there is no end. And it means more intense storms, more drought, more floods, more displacement. There are 250,000 people now on Manhattan that do not have food, water, electricity. They don't have functioning toilets. They are stuck, many of them disabled elders. They are stuck up on the 5th or the 10th floor of their apartments. We have an absolute disaster situation. We've got two public transportation systems in New York and New Jersey that are flooded and out of commission. We know how to fix this. We don't have to sit there and pretend that either climate change is not happening or that it's not our responsibility. And for all of the lip service, and there's not much lip service these days, it's mostly swearing swearing service to the coal, gas, and oil companies. That's what we heard Mitt Romney and Barack Obama competing for. Who could be a better servant to them? They didn't mention climate once. We know how to fix this. And in fact, for every dollar we spend on energy, we can create three times as many jobs in clean, renewable energy and conservation as we can in fossil fuels and nuclear. So we can solve the jobs crisis at the same time that we solve the climate crisis, and we've got to do it now. This is why waiting till 2020, which is what the president said when he undermined the international climate agreement in South Africa, he said, we don't need an agreement. We can wait till 2020. We cannot wait till 2020. We cannot wait till 2016. We cannot wait another week. You've got to go to the polls and vote green. Every green vote is an irrepressible call for solving climate change, for solving the jobless crisis, for ending student debt, for creating health care as a human right, downsizing the military, taxing the rich. These are the solutions the American public is standing for. We are the ones we've been waiting for, and we got to stand up for them. They are not going to hand them to us on a silver platter. Don't let them talk you into silencing yourself and using your vote as a weapon against yourself for more of the same. We can change this starting with every single vote on November 6th.
Michael, this is Harvey. Let me jump in here.
Go ahead, Harvey.
You just heard the reason why. People always ask me, why aren't the Democrats saying anything about rigging the elections? When you listen to Jill Stein talk, you know that they're way more afraid of having a Green Party, a Jill Stein candidate who can make a real run at the presidency rather than caring about whether the election's stolen by the Republicans. I mean, the bottom line is here that when the Republicans and the Democrats have the power to rig the election, they have the power then to shut out candidates like Jill Stein, who's so incredibly articulate and powerful here. I mean, she shows up at a debate and they lock her up for 8 hours. That's how much they fear this kind of
rhetoric.
They're
scared of her.
And they're scared of her and they're scared of third
and
party.
And again, look,
I mean, if
we'll
you look
concede
at the
50% of the vote, right, right, Harvey? We'll
What's
give
that?
The 50% to the Dems and Republicans and they can fight over which one gets a quarter, one vote more than a quarter. We're appealing to the 50% of the people that aren't motivated because you've got a choice between A and B, and Jill is actually offering Z solutions, real solutions. So we're appealing to the people that don't want to go out and vote because they're tired of the same old rhetoric. That's half the population.
And
right.
By the way,
so what you have here is a duopoly. I looked it up. The last time we had a president of the United States who was not a Democrat or Republican,
he was a Whig.
Was Millard Fillmore, the last Whig president, left office in 1853. Since then, they've all been Democrats or Republicans. I mean, it's nice we have an African American now. I'm sure we'll get a woman eventually, but the real question is, when will we get a Green, someone who's not a Democrat or a Republican? So when you listen to Jill Stein or Ralph Nader, it's no accident that they lock these people up rather than let them in the debates, let alone let them have a fair shot at getting the votes that they could get if the elections weren't rigged.
One second, I just want to say that we're now at 7 after, and I just became host of this program. Welcome to the Blue State Diner. And I want to welcome into the Blue State Diner Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate for president. Very happy to have her on the program. Also joined by Harvey Wasserman, my good friend, and also my other good friend, Bob Fitrakis, host of Fight Back, which has just concluded. But we're taking this conversation into the Blue State Diner now. And Jill, very happy to have you, by the way. And I agree with everything that Harvey was just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to add to that they can keep us, the majority of the American public, they can keep us trapped here. They have only one way to do it. At the end of the day, and that is fear. You know, they have a psychological war being conducted against us, a psychological war that tells us we are powerless, our votes are useless, we don't count. But it is only the power of that fear, that psychological war, that's the only tool they have, because we have the facts, we've got justice, we've got truth, we've got solutions, we even have public opinion on our side on issue after issue. So, as Bob was saying, this is a majoritarian agenda. We do have the power. As Alice Walker says, the biggest way people give up power is by not knowing we have it to start with. We have it. People are waking up to that fact. There is a strong social movement out there to blockade the evictions, to blockade the Keystone Pipeline, the Occupy movement, the democracy revolutions in the Middle East, the student movement to protest against skyrocketing tuition. In Quebec, they fought it back. And now they're going on to fight for free tuition, which is what our younger generation deserves. So there's enormous social movement out there, and where we've seen history transform, you know, where we've seen history totally turned on its head.
That talk is suspiciously European to me.
Whatever
you
call it.
We've got to remember that we did have a great candidate
believes
in
American exceptionalism.
Early 20th century, Eugene V. Debs,
exactly.
Who ran for president five times. They never conceded that he got more than a million votes, even though he was the most famous and most loved public figure in America for 2025, from the 1896, really, until 1920. And when he, as Boz pointed out, when he ran for Congress in his hometown of Terre Haute, where he was deeply beloved, and, of course, he voted with his wife and his brother, they showed him with zero votes for Congress in Terre Haute, Indiana, in 1916. And now we have Jill Stein, who they locked up, rather than allow her in the debates. Jill,
you look good in handcuffs,
on the,
by
on the
way.
Climate, I generally refer to it as global weirding, not just global warming, because we're totally wrecking the consistency of the weather. And, of course, it's not just climate change. It's climate chaos. And these, are, of course, are threatening us. And, as you know, we've worked for a long, long time to shut down nuclear plants. Yeah. This storm, Sandy, threatened as many as 20 nuclear plants and forced the shutdown of a bunch of them, and God forbid we would have had another Fukushima there. And I know this is a big part of the Green Party platform and the new Green Deal to get us to renewables, to solar, wind, tidal, a solartopian energy solution, which Michael and Bob and I have talked about a lot. So it's just great to have you out there. You're incredibly articulate and brilliant. You're a tremendous candidate.
Well, thank you so much. And you know, it's such a privilege to be able to stand on the shoulders of the giants who've been building the Green Party, like yourself.
Like Harvey?
Yes, like you, Harvey.
And Bob.
Yes, and Bob, absolutely. I mean, what you have done is incredible. And for us to be able to offer, you know, what the Green Party brings to the table right now, which is, you know, candidates at all levels of office, from librarians to Congress, which Bob is running for, you know, right on up to the presidency, and for us to be able to offer the solutions that people like you have helped articulate, that we don't have to choose between nuclear power and fossil fuels, which is this, you know, two different forms of poison. It's like, choose your poison here. Those are not acceptable choices. We need the choices that actually provide win-win solutions. And in fact, I just want to stress that the Green New Deal not only solves the jobs problem and the climate problem, it also makes wars for oil obsolete, and further, it establishes a real infrastructure for health. Right now, we are spending $2 trillion every year on this not healthcare system, it is a sick care system. 75% of those dollars are spent treating chronic diseases that are preventable at a tiny fraction of the cost. What does that cost? It's pollution prevention. It's creating a healthy, local, sustainable food system. It's public transportation that includes safe sidewalks and bike paths that connect with transit hubs so that we can integrate activity into our days. We don't take our life into our hands if we want to walk or bike to work, etc. This actually creates real health at the level of our communities and makes unnecessary 75% of that $2 trillion expenditure, which is skyrocketing. So the Green New Deal is a win-win-win all around, and another way that it pays for itself is by undercutting these unbelievable skyrocketing healthcare expenses and makes them unnecessary. So we got a whole lot of win-wins here, and it's that missing link is just flicking the switch in our own minds from powerlessness, which is what they want to convince us of, to actually exercising the power that, in fact, we have. And the minute we use it, we acquire it. That's all it is. It's just recognizing that we have it. It's time to use it. And the Green Party provides that hub by which we work with each other across issues. They would like us to be divided and conquered, working on nukes, working on election reform, etc. The Green Party is that broad-based coalition, how we get to critical mass.
Hey, Harvey, listening to Jill just now reminded me of a conversation that you were part of back in 2008. Bob was part of it. We were on the phone, if you'll recall, Harvey, we were talking to Ted Strickland and Sherrod Brown, and we were talking about rebuilding the rail system in Ohio. We were talking about wind farms in Ohio. We were talking about green energy solutions in Ohio. And at that time, Harvey, if you recall, we kind of felt pretty good about the way things were going. I recall that you were pleased to find out how much Sherrod Brown knew about the rail system and the history of the rail system in Ohio. Since that time, John Kasich has come into office in the state of Ohio, and by golly, I don't feel so damn good about it anymore. How about you?
Well, it's like having the barbarians sweeping in from the north, you know. I mean, John Kasich, his first act was to kill the rail system.
$400 million
in federal funds to restore rail service between Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati. And he just came in at the behest of the automobile manufacturers and killed the whole deal. And, of course, you pointed out, long ago we ripped down one of the most beautiful buildings in central Ohio. We did, they did, the old Union Station.
Right.
And it's been since 1979, as Bob pointed out, that we've had passenger rail service in this town. It's insane. We are the largest capital in the world without rail service. And
I love me some trains, man. I would love to ride on trains.
And of course, you know, cost efficient. They're energy efficient. They are safer
than automobiles.
And
you can text while riding.
It's amazing. And wind farms. We have had some movement on wind in this state, but nowhere near as much as we should. And as Bob has pointed out, we've shown that the election where Kasich allegedly defeated Ted Strickland was actually stolen. Of course, you know, so that guarantees that we're going to have a hard time getting a green governor in this state that could really make a difference. Sherrod Brown is in a we do generally like Sherrod Brown. He's in a race with a completely unqualified, embarrassingly ridiculous candidate, Josh Mandel.
We're making fun of Josh Mandel.
Jill speak here, I mean, so much energy and power. And, you know, Ralph Nader's a buddy of ours for many, many years. He would have been a great president. Ralph Nader would have been and should have been president of the United States. I mean, very, very few people have had the kind of impact on American politics as probably nobody, really, as Ralph Nader.
And Jill actually needs to go and prepare for that debate, Harvey, so I want her to say goodbye and tell people where they can watch that debate again.
Okay. Great. So go to our website. Go to our website in any case, jillstein.org. Get on Facebook at Jill Stein and Twitter, JillStein2012, because there is a Tahrir Square moment that is waiting to happen. We do have the numbers, and what if word got out to 36 million students who are basically indentured servants under Democrats and Republicans carrying around high debt without the jobs to pay for it, or people who aren't working, you know, one out of every two Americans who's in poverty or heading for it. What if word got out that we could actually go to the polls and create those living wage community-based jobs right now, that we could end student debt right now, that we could make public higher education free and provide health care for everyone as a human right? What if word got out and started to go viral on the Internet? You know, there's no end to how we could blow the lid off of this repressive political system on November 6th. And, you know, politics would be forever changed. If we win the White House, we turn it into a greenhouse, and the world will be a better place for it. But even without winning the office, we can win the day by driving these solutions forward. Go to jillstein.org. Join the team. Together we're unstoppable. Keep it happening. Thank you all so much.
Well, we look forward to your presidency, Joe. You're going to be a fantastic chief executive.
All right. Thank you so much, Harvey. We'll bring you in as chief of staff, okay?
All right.
wait a minute. I wanted that job, Harvey. All right. Well, thanks to Harvey Wasserman. Also, thanks so much to Jill.
Michael, thanks for having me on.
You betcha.
Keep in touch.
All right. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Jill Stein, thank you
Michael.
For being here today. By the way, coming up, Lou Goldfarb, right after this.
More of the Blue State Diner coming up after these brief messages.
An important message from Sherrod Brown to progressive voters across Ohio.
I'm Sherrod Brown, and I need your help. I've been fighting for the middle class my whole career, but I've never seen anything like this. An all-out assault on the rights of workers, the rights of women, even the right to vote. And here in Ohio, corporate-backed special interests have spent $30 million of attack ads trying to drive me out of the U.S. Senate. We can't let them get away with it. If you care as deeply as I do about progressive values, I need you to work as hard as you can between now and November 6th. First, vote. You can do it today, then make sure everyone you know votes too. If you want to do more, visit me at SherrodBrown.com to find out how. Our middle class has never needed progressives to stand up more than right now. I approve this message because I hope you'll help me answer the call.
Paid for by Friends of Sherrod Brown.
Government is the problem. With Ronald Reagan, I agree. It's a problem when it fails to protect we the people and the earth from the GOP. They will privatize and profitize and corporatize our nation and make our government of the people a government of the corporation. They suppress our rights and try to kill all the regulations that protect, defend, and guard us from the greed of corporations. They lie straight to your face and make a mockery of the Constitution, then obstruct the truth to protect and serve self-serving institutions. Now's the time for we the people. Now's the time to wake up this nation. Now's the time for we the people. Now's the time. Our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let need not greed lead the way. They say they want more freedom, but what they do not say is that they want more freedom to take your rights away.
I'm Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner. Every time I go to a Clippers ball game or a concert at the renovated Lincoln Theater, I'm reminded how lucky we are to live in Franklin County. Despite hard times, we're on a winning streak with the highest credit rating of any Ohio county, job creation, a partnership for healthy babies, and a program to support our veterans. Let's work together to make it better.
Keep Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner.
Paid for by Paula Brooks Committee and Dorian Lenzati, Treasurer.
Michael Collins, your progressive candidate for Franklin, Delaware, and Knox counties.
My name is Kylie, and I want to tell you about my dad, Michael Collins, who serves on the State Board of Education. Education is my dad's passion, and for over 30 years, Michael Collins has been serving Ohio's school children. He cares about our schools and will always work to make them better. Please vote for my dad, Michael Collins, for the State Board of Education, now through November 6th.
I'm Michael Collins, and I approve this message. Paid for by Collins for Schools, Kathy Ottinger, Treasurer.
A yes vote on Issue 2 puts citizens in charge of fair elections. Your vote should count. A yes vote is critical. It means our voices will be heard. When you have fair elections, everyone wins. Vote yes on Issue 2.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redford, Chairman.
I'm busy with two jobs and a two-year-old, but I will make time to vote. On equal pay and women's health, things I depend on, I know Democrats are right and Republicans are dead wrong. I'm voting for Democrats.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redford, Chairman.
This is State Representative Tracy Hurd. It has been my honor to serve the 26th House District for the last 6 years. Thank you for that privilege. I am once again asking for your vote to continue forward serving you. Forward with President Barack Obama. Forward with Senator Sherrod Brown. Forward with Justice Yvette McGee Brown. Forward with our first representative for the newly created 3rd Congressional District, Joyce Beatty. This year, it is important you make a plan to vote. The Early Vote Center at 1700 Morse Road is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. Make an appointment with yourself and commitment to yourself, not just to vote, but vote early. And when you do, remember, I am asking you to vote for me, Tracy Hurd for State Representative, Barack Obama for President, Sherrod Brown for U.S. Senate, Yvette McGee Brown for Supreme Court, Joyce Beatty to the new 3rd Congressional District, and the entire Democratic ticket. We have all been working hard for you. Let's go forward together. This is your State Representative, Tracy Hurd. Make sure your voice is heard. Vote early. Paid for by Friends of Hurd, Lillian Gray, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Kenny Pick from Turn Up the Night. Be sure to check out my show every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk. If you tune in, you might hear something like this. You're on WVKO on Turn Up the Night.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about this electric car thing.
Okay.
We don't have an electric car.
No? You personally don't have an electric car?
No. we don't have electric cars.
But there are cars that run on electricity, albeit they've been built on older technology, such as petroleum. Is that what you're saying, that if it takes petroleum to build an electric car, that makes it not an electric car?
I was on the phone. They cut me off.
You're still there.
You're still here.
Okay. Well, we do not have an electric car.
That's Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick every Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on WVKO 1580 AM, Columbus's Progressive Talk.
Be sure to thank those businesses for paying the bill here at Blue State Diner. Now back to your server, Michael Allwood.
That was Rick Shepard doing the introduction there, and happy to say that he's in the studio today. We also have Bob Petrakis staying with us, and Jerry Bellows here. But very quickly, we want to go to Lou Goldfarb, who is a co-author of Bulls, Bears, and the Ballot Box. Lou, how you doing? Lou, are you with us? Lou?
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, very good. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Tell us a little bit about the book very quickly, because we want to get to Bob. We have some other guests coming up. It's been a crazy day in the Blue State Diner today.
I understand that. Well, my co-author Bob Detrick and I wrote a book. We were, I think, both frustrated by the fact that many Americans vote on low information and misinformation. And many Americans don't vote based upon their own wallets. So we decided to look at the numbers behind claims that have been made over the years as to which party has been best for our wallets and our national economy. And we came to some surprising conclusions. I think the conventional wisdom, at least over the last 30 years or so, has been, if you want to improve the economy, if you want to do what's better for business, you vote for a Republican president. Well, our book shows, based upon reliable economic data, that that is nothing but a myth. In fact, on the 12 economic measurements we've used in evaluating economic performance, the Democrats win on 11 of the 12. So we looked at 80 years of presidential history, 40 years of Democrats in the White House, and 40 years of Republicans in the White House, and that's where the similarity ends, because it was not even a close competition.
Well, I've turned my own mic off. It's been that kind of day. Lou, it is in black and white in your book, and I think that the more people who know about it, the better. How can they get your book?
You can get our book at our website, bullsbearsandtheballotbox.com, or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the online stores or retail outlets and buy our book. But we think it's a must-read before the election. We've had a number of influential leaders in the Democratic Party who have endorsed our book, including Ted Strickland, David Wilhelm, who all say it's a must-read before the election.
All right.
And so we're just trying to get out the facts, and hopefully people will vote on facts and vote in their economic interest instead of a lot of the misinformation that you hear over the airwaves these days.
All right. Well, thank you, Lou, for calling in today. I want to go now to David Foster, who is the executive director of the Blue Green Alliance. Somebody, Bob, that maybe you might know. I think you know, David?
Yes.
Good morning. How is everybody?
All right. Well, David, tell us about what you're doing these days, and talk about the clean economy. Is it possible? What is the path? How do we get there? I wish Harvey was on the line.
Well, we're, of course, an organization that brings together 10 of America's largest unions with four of its most influential environmental organizations, and we're dedicated to trying to increase the number and quality of jobs in the green economy. So we're out there talking a lot about job creation, what's the government's role in doing that, pinpointing a lot of the successes we've had, and certainly for those of your listeners in Ohio, one of the big successes of the last few years has been the rebirth of the American auto industry. And that's brought back, I think, one out of every eight jobs in Ohio today is dependent on the auto industry. So very, very important accomplishments in that regard.
Well, we just had some news earlier this week about Honda actually putting a bunch of money into the economy and bringing a bunch of new jobs to the state of Ohio. It seems to me that that all the news on the auto front in Ohio in particular has been good news of late.
It surely has, and one of the, I think, big success stories of this administration has been how it's been able to cultivate a whole new generation of manufacturing jobs in America so that for the first time in my lifetime, we're starting to see manufacturing increase in the United States instead of that long, slow, inexorable decline that many of us lived through. So over a 500,000 new manufacturing jobs in the United States over the last 24 months or so. It's a big reverse, and we're headed back into being the kind of innovative, competitive manufacturing economy that creates wealth and historically can support a middle class in America.
Well, tell us briefly, if you would, David, about Jobs 21, that program.
Yes. Well, I think one of the big misinformation campaigns of the last couple years has been the effort by the right wing to discredit the success of the Recovery Act. The Recovery Act showed us that there's nothing like environmental regulation and clean energy investments by the government to put us on long, sustained job growth in America. So you can look at almost any part of the economy, whether it's the fuel efficiency rules that helped guide the auto industry back to profitability and success, or look at renewable electricity standards and investments in alternative energy for all the manufacturing and construction jobs that that's created, to the efforts to enhance building energy efficiency and the jobs in retrofitting our building stock that has created hundreds of thousands of construction jobs. So we aggregated all these programs into a master plan called Jobs 21, Good Jobs for the 21st Century, that focuses on taking the really beneficial programs that were proven to work during the Recovery Act and brings them to scale as a way to solve the jobs deficit we have in this country and do it in a way that puts us on a long, sustained growth path for a healthy 21st century economy. We think this is really the sensible, smart way to encourage growth. Encouraging growth ultimately is the only way to deal with the country's deficit problems. It's the only way to really deal with restoring the middle class to prosperity in the country. So Jobs 21 has a prominent role for government, putting forth the kinds of smart investments, strong public-private partnerships that leverage private capital from sitting on the sidelines to get back into the economy, helping us meet our environmental challenges. These are proven job-creating measures, and the Recovery Act demonstrated that to us, creating over 1 million jobs through green investments in the economy. Put $3 of private money back into the economy at work for every dollar of government support. That's exactly what we need to get America moving again, and it's exactly what I expect to have happen when President Obama is reelected.
All right, David Foster, the executive director of the Blue-Green Alliance. Thank you, David, for being in the Blue State Diner today.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate being with you.
Okay. Take care. And now I want to turn to Jerry Bello and Bob Fitrakis, the two lead authors on a very important issue that popped up just this week. In fact, I think this story is now just 2 days old. Jerry, I'm going to let you, better from the horse's mouth than me, try to explain it. Give the listeners an idea of just what the hell is going on.
Okay, to backtrack a little bit, Bob and I have been doing a series of articles on voting machines, who makes them, how they work, how they actually affect your vote.
And by the way, this is of utmost importance to Mike Collins, who's a candidate for the Board of Education, who's going to be joining us very soon here. He's standing by in the studio. And anybody who's on the ballot should be paying attention to this story.
Anybody who's on the ballot right
now. Or voting.
Or voting. But specifically, anybody who's on the ballot and not a Republican really should consider bringing suit.
If you're of the Republican ilk, you need not worry.
You need not worry. Everything's working just fine for you. should consider bringing suit against the Secretary of State's office at this point. What we've discovered in our long investigation is something came up, and that is a contract between the Secretary of State's office and a company called Election Systems and Solutions, ESNS. They're the number one voting machine manufacturer in America. This contract will allow ESNS to install...
Bigger than Diebold?
Bigger than Diebold. Much bigger.
In fact, they bought up Diebold and spit them out.
Yeah. ESNS bought up Diebold and then got sued under the Sherman Antitrust Act and had to sell them to Dominion. That's another story.
Wow. That's some heavy testicles.
let's get to the meat, so to speak. ESNS will be installing, or has installed, actually, uncertified, untested reporting and communication software.
On the voting machines?
On the central tabulation machines. Not the machine that you cast your vote on.
Tabulation manipulation.
Right. Tabulation manipulation. This software provides a new special layer of reporting between the county central tabulators and the Secretary of State's office to better format the information.
Jerry's doing air quotes around format.
Yes. Air quote, format.
It's radio, Jerry. We got to.
I can't
spell
air quote. Yeah, I can't air quote. State and federal law requires anything, any piece of hardware, any piece of software that touches your vote.
But they got around this how?
Well, they figured out, it depends on how you ask them. Well, first of all, state law requires that it be tested and certified. And I've got serious problems with the testing and certification process.
But that's an engineering question.
Okay. Now, they got around this two ways, depending on which way you ask them.
By nomenclature.
One, they say, since it doesn't actually count the votes, we don't have to test it. And then, since it does count the votes, it's experimental, so it doesn't have to be tested. But it's experimental because it hasn't
been tested. Once again, we should add the air quotes to experimental, I believe. Okay.
All right. It's experimental because it hasn't been tested.
But we don't know what the damn stuff does, Jerry.
But let me get through it. It's experimental because it hasn't been tested, and it hasn't been tested because it's experimental.
That's circular logic, buddy.
Well, yes, and that's because your voting machine testing is done by lawyers. And
once again, I reiterate.
and I'm a lawyer, and Robert, I know how to turn a computer on.
Robert, this is scary because?
Well, it's scary because we have a system. Back in 2004, we outsourced the vote count to SmartTech in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And we've been telling people this how long?
Since 2004, by God, Michael. And there's a great article on Salam. There's also Salam.com. There's a great article on a book out called Boss Row. And after we outsourced the vote, Craig Unger doesn't say steal, but he said anomalies.
Anomalies.
None of the numbers, like the Connolly anomaly, none of the numbers make sense after these private patches and the vote being rerouted. So, again, we have a push-and-pray system, faith-based voting. And when you allow these partisan, for-profit, Republican, overwhelmingly right-to-life companies to bring in untested, uncertified software patches, you're inviting the manipulation, illegal manipulation of votes.
Technically speaking, Bob, it's not a software patch. It's a software package at this point.
Package, but...
So we still don't know what it does.
Well, we know what it says it does.
We know what... Yes. But, Jerry, you're a tech guy. You know that you can make software to do what it is you want to do. And if you're hiding what it is, if you're not giving anybody a chance to take a look at the software, they could be doing anything with that software.
It's a fundamental axiom of computer security that if you allow me to execute one instruction on your processor,
and you can do
I execute as many instructions as I want until I'm done, and then you can have your processor back. The end.
The end. And fellas, I just wanted to remind people a little bit later in the program, I did have a conversation with Senator John Kerry late yesterday, and I did point out, I gave him the website for the Free Press article written by Jerry and Bob about this very issue, and he assured me that he would take a look at this. He also assured me, and this is coming up, he also assured me that the Obama campaign has people in place in the state to watch this very issue, this issue of tabulation, manipulation. We are going to take a short break. I'm going to thank you, Jerry, for being here. Thank you, Bob, for being
here. Glad to be
here,
Michael.
And staying
over. Always happy to
have.
Always eat at the Blue State Diner.
There you go.
And stay tuned for the next candidate. He's key, and make sure you vote for him.
All righty.
More of the Blue State Diner coming up after these brief messages.
An important message from Sherrod Brown to progressive voters across Ohio.
I'm Sherrod Brown, and I need your help. I've been fighting for the middle class my whole career, but I've never seen anything like this. An all-out assault on the rights of workers, the rights of women, even the right to vote. And here in Ohio, corporate-backed special interests have spent $30 million in attack ads trying to drive me out of the U.S. Senate. We can't let them get away with it. If you care as deeply as I do about progressive values, I need you to work as hard as you can between now and November 6th. First, vote. You can do it today, then make sure everyone you know votes too. If you want to do more, visit me at SherrodBrown.com to find out how. Our middle class has never needed progressives to stand up more than right now. I approve this message because I hope you'll help me answer the call.
Paid for by Friends of Sherrod Brown.
Government is the problem. With Ronald Reagan, I agree. It's a problem when it fails to protect we the people and the earth from the GOP. They will privatize and profitize and corporatize our nation and make our government of the people a government of the corporation. They suppress our rights and try to kill all the regulations that protect, defend, and guard us from the greed of corporations. They lie straight to your face and make a mockery of the Constitution, then obstruct the truth to protect and serve self-serving institutions. Now's the time for we the people. Now's the time to wake up this nation. Now's the time for we the people. Now's the time. Our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let need not greed lead the way. They say they want more freedom, but what they do not say is that they want more freedom to take your rights away.
I'm Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner. Every time I go to a Clippers ball game or a concert at the renovated Lincoln Theater, I'm reminded how lucky we are to live in Franklin County. Despite hard times, we're on a winning streak with the highest credit rating of any Ohio county, job creation, a partnership for healthy babies, and a program to support our veterans. Let's work together to make it better.
Keep Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner.
Paid for by Paula Brooks Committee and Dorian Lenzati Treasurer.
Michael Collins, your progressive candidate for Franklin, Delaware, and Knox counties.
My name is Kylie, and I want to tell you about my dad, Michael Collins, who serves on the State Board of Education. Education is my dad's passion, and for over 30 years, Michael Collins has been serving Ohio's school children. He cares about our schools and will always work to make them better. Please vote for my dad, Michael Collins, for the State Board of Education, now through November 6th.
I'm Michael Collins, and I approve this message. Paid for by Collins for Schools, Kathy Ottinger, Treasurer.
We're back in the Blue State Diner. Here once again, your host, Michael Elwood.
Oh, well, I get to thank Rick in person. Rick Shepherd right here in the studio with me today.
This time I get to say you're quite welcome.
Right.
I hear you say that every show. And,
and we're also joined by the gentleman who was just introduced by his daughter. Mike Collins is here with us.
How are you, Michael? Nice to be here.
Good to have you here. Your daughter laid it out pretty good, but go ahead and continue. Why should we elect you to the State Board of Education?
I bring two
very interesting perspectives. My first 11 years of employment were in public education, both at the local, state, and national level. Both my degrees are in public education. But I've owned my own business, been a small businessman for the past 30 years. What you know about my company is they produce major events in Central Ohio, such as the Columbus Marathon, Red, White, and Boom, First Night. And I'm most proud of, with myself and two women, we're the co-founders of Race for the Cure, and I did that in honor of my mother who died of breast cancer. And we, those events have raised over $100 million since 1990 in the Central Ohio community. But most importantly, I've had experience in it. I spent 7 years on the Westerville Board of Education before my first term on the state board. And I drank this public school Kool-Aid. And I actually understand the ingredients.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm thrilled to have this opportunity again. One point to point out, I actually am an incumbent, but it was in District 9. And the governor's office on January 31st, because the state law said he had to, redistricted me.
I was just going to say, Westerville, anybody else we know who lives up, comes from the Westerville area?
Isn't he the morning news guy? On
Fox News or something?
Yeah, you spent a little time in a company that's no longer with us? Is that what you're trying to say?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. veiled references to our governor, John Kasich.
Oh, yeah.
Who lives 3 miles from me, by the way.
Yeah. So go on.
It's been a great opportunity to have been Westerville and Knox County's representative for the past 4 years. We had none of Franklin at the time.
But now you do.
We had 3/4 of the western side of Franklin County, all in Knox, all in Delaware. And my old district, really, which went all the way down into Appalachian through southeastern Ohio, kind of remains the same with this piece of Franklin County that wasn't part of it before. So we got a three-way race. It's serious. The vote counts. This isn't a walk in the park. And the other thing we need to clearly understand is that the voice of Central Ohio on that state board, because of where you sit and the number of things you get to go to just by proximity and location, excuse the expression, makes a hell of a difference. So I'm flattered to have the opportunity to continue, but I can't do it. And the other big deal is you got to go all the way down the ballot, Michael. Mm-hmm. In 2008, the drop-off from the presidency to this level, which also, by the way, includes Supreme Court justices and our dear friend, right, Yvette Mee Brown, we got to take care of her,
yeah,
Mr. Swindell, but particularly Yvette. But the fact of the matter is there was a 35% drop-off in 2008 from the presidential level to this level.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Mike, that anybody who has listened to my program at all knows that I am constantly harping on the entire ballot and down ballot issues and candidates. And in particular, this year I've been hitting the fact that you want to get all the way to the end of the ballot for issue 56.
Yes, 56 and 2, et cetera. They come right below us. The other thing I want to say is we are a nonpartisan race, so it isn't a matter of just going down the ballot and voting Democrat. You really need to look at the races because technically we're nonpartisan and parties don't show up. Though we're privileged to have the endorsement of all the parties and all the locations in this district as well as all of labor.
Well, let me throw you a curveball.
I'm not surprised. Carry on.
Okay. that is this issue of the Supreme Court of the state of Ohio has a number of times, four times, stated that the way we fund schools in Ohio is unconstitutional. What will you do on the board long overdue to address this problem?
I'll tell you what I'm going to personally, and there's a collection of us putting forward, particularly right after this.
And by the way, for those of you listening at home and not watching on our television channel, which is non-existent, Mike was nodding his head as I was giving him this question. Go ahead, Mike.
So four times, and it was actually called the DeRolf case because that's the name of the case. Four times it appeared that the Supreme Court ruled and the legislature and the governor's office did not respond. The closest thing to any response to addressing the DeRolf case was Governor Strickland's evidence-based model in terms of funding, because it determined what was an adequate and effective and efficient education and said, here's how we're going to pay for it. And if there hadn't been a recession, not only wouldn't you still be governor, but the fact of the matter is the whole program would have been instituted in 4 years instead, because of the recession he had to move it out over 10, and this current administration got rid of all of it. Hmm. So the problem you're going to have in this new funding proposal, and those are hand quotes, by the way.
Yeah, more air quotes for WVKO this morning.
Is that what you're going to see come forward, one, won't be a formula. Two is won't really address the issue, which is
the level of state funding that supports public education is too low, and what it results in is too high a proportion of property tax, which is what was ruled in unconstitutional, number one, was the disproportionate amount put on local property owners and local taxes to support public education. So it creates inequity between your wealthy districts and your real poor. And as the current and then soon to be former representative of Appalachia, you have no idea what that means. To give you
a I have a pretty good idea what it means.
Well, to give you an idea, in Morgan County, a mill raises $30,000. In Franklin County, a mill raises raises $91 million. You got $910,000.
So the
$30,000 to $910,000.
The long and the short of it is, we're going to have to reelect Ted Strickland to the governorship. And
keep acting as if he's running.
I don't disagree, but I'm not going there. I just want to finish this other point, Michael. So what we need to do is make sure that we're bringing a proposal where the state really carries its proportionate share of school funding, which actually will address the Supreme Court's case. They did it in the facility side. They didn't do it in the academic side, and that's the issue that's still unsolved. And right now, we don't see anything. The second thing we have to do as state board members, and I happen to enjoy a very good relationship with legislators on both sides, because the state board doesn't make the budget, we have to be the influencers of the budget makers, and that's what I'm committed to do, and I feel very confident about my capacity to do it.
All right, we want to bring WVKO Morning News anchor Sean Gilbo into the conversation very briefly, Sean, because I got to get to my interview with John Kerry. Sean, go ahead.
I understand that, and I confess I have egg on my face right now. Michael, I didn't even know you were running. You also are in the Westerville School District that is covers Franklin County, right?
Yeah, but it also covers Delaware County, the southern third of Delaware County. I happen to live
and
in Delaware
Knox County.
Okay, because to be honest, on October 9th when I voted, I had no information on this race. So it was like I was picking it down. And that's one of the things that I know we're going to have to address here. Is in State Board of Education races, there's got to be more information out there to the media and to groups like League of Women Voters so that we know about these races. That was the only one I didn't have any information on my sample ballot when I got it. But I do want you to win, believe me. Because as Michael and Rick and Roy know, I was one of the people behind fighting this repeal effort. And now, based on that, one of the Tea Party people has now put me as the very first caricature of a WVKO person by the name of Sean Goblo. So I know I've caused a lot of grief to the people, the taxpayers for Westerville Schools.
All right, Sean, thank you very much.
We want to mention Tuesday night, since we got everybody here.
Right.
Rick and Roy going to be involved. We're going to have more information on this, but we're going to have special election coverage starting at 7 o'clock. With the gang from Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick.
It's going to be Turn Up the Election Night coverage with Sean Gilbo, Kenny Pick, and Rick Shepard, and Debba, and Matt, and Schaefer. All right.
And Roy's getting a buffet dinner from me for his helping me out with the phones that evening, and I'm very grateful for that. Rick's going to be getting all the comments from the Democratic candidates, partying downtown. It's going to be a very interesting night.
Sure is.
That was a shout-out to Roy. All right. Thank you, Sean.
Take care.
To you later. All right,
and
thanks, Mike Collins, for being here. I do have to get to this interview with John Kerry, and I'm going to do that right now. Joining me now, the esteemed senator from the great state of Massachusetts, and I'm sure our listeners will recall, was the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party in 2004, Senator John Kerry. Thanks for being here.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you. Thanks for having me. I'm going to be in Ohio tomorrow. I'm going to be in Toledo and Dayton tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, our hearts go out to all those folks on the eastern seaboard who were affected by the massive storm, but I'll tell you what, we need a little bit of relief ourselves here in Ohio from the great superstorm of ads on the airwaves in Ohio, and in many, many cases, Senator, some of the most despicable things being said about the president and about your esteemed colleague from the great Buckeye State, Sherrod Brown. And it has been astounding.
Well, these guys are desperate. I mean, look at what's happening. Let me just give you an example, and I hope folks in Ohio, I'm confident folks in Ohio will be focused on this, but Romney is stooping to these wildly false claims about the auto industry, and what he's trying to do is mislead the people of Ohio. You know, his ad just reeks of desperation because Chrysler, General Motors, and the Detroit newspaper have all debunked his misleading claims about the auto industry, and he's just trying to win this election by deception. And I think the voters already know you can't trust Mitt Romney. Let me tell you something. In Massachusetts, the state he governed, Mitt Romney can't even contest the state. He's more than 20 points behind. And the reason he's that far behind is the people who know him best trust him the least. And he's proving that to Ohio.
Well, Senator, let me ask you something that I have in front of me right now, a book by my good friends Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman, along with Stephen Rosenfeld. You might even be familiar with this book. You may have even read it. It's called What Happened in Ohio. It is specifically about the 2004 election here and in Ohio, and certainly you have memories of that, although they probably are very unpleasant. Do you know about this book?
Yeah, I know something about it. I haven't read it, but you know, my memories of Ohio are actually wonderful. I mean, look, obviously I'm sad that by 50,000 votes we lost the presidency in Ohio, but I have great memories of campaigning there and had some extraordinary moments, and a lot of good people, and, you know, there are a lot of people there who did vote for me, so I'm very appreciative.
Well, you know, according to this book, and it's a well-documented piece of investigative work, a lot more people voted for you than were counted. And quite frankly, Senator, I'm concerned about that happening again. I don't know if you've heard the latest news about what goes on with the companies who own the voting machines here in Ohio.
Yeah, no, I'm very familiar. I'm so familiar with it. It's you know, obviously it rings a lot of bells with me. But look, here's my take. The best insurance is to have a lot of people come out, be out there in strong numbers, call any irregularity to the attention of people if you see it. And obviously we're going to be counting the people who come out to vote. We'll be very carefully monitoring what those tallies are. And the voter fraud efforts will be very, very significant, I'm assured.
Senator, I'm not going to put you through reading this latest thing, but I'm going to urge you. There's a new thing that's come up about the voting machines there. They have put the Secretary of State here, John Husted, they applied a patch to the voting machines within the past week. They are called experimental. And so they didn't have to go through the usual scrutiny of the federal government or the state government. And there's some major concern, and you can read about this at freepress.org. And I'm telling you because I want as many people as possible in places of importance, such as yourself, somebody who can do things, get things done. We're just very concerned about that here in Ohio.
Well, I understand that, and I will read it, I'll look at it, and I'm confident, I know this, at the highest levels of the campaign, that they will be very, very vigilant.
Thank you for that. What do you think is going to be the real key between now and Tuesday? I mean, there's still a couple of days.
Well, I think the most important thing is for the people of Ohio to focus on the facts. I mean, facts are stubborn things, as President John Adams reminded us. And Romney doesn't like to deal with the facts. They just make stuff up. Romney's tax plan for America does not add up. I can't say that more strongly to the citizens of Ohio. He wants a $5 trillion tax cut, $2 trillion to the military on top of that they haven't asked for. That's $7 trillion. And the fact is that that's going to result in busting the deficit and giving us the same economic policies that got us into trouble in the first place. President Obama is putting America back to work. He's created 5.4 million jobs. That's more jobs than George Bush created in 8 years. The president's done it in 4. The president's done it over the obstruction of these Republicans. And the last thing the people of Ohio should do is reward their obstructionism and reward their lies. I mean, if Romney's willing to, you know, if even the head of Chrysler and the GM are saying what he's saying is not true, Ohio ought to be forewarned. This guy doesn't tell the truth. And he didn't tell the truth in Massachusetts, which is why he's losing Massachusetts by more than 20 points. So the people who know him best trust him the least, and people need to take note of that.
Well, Senator, one of the things that I always talk about on my program is reaching the people and making them understand the difference from the truth. But I notice, you know, I listen to through the radio all the time, all the call-in shows, and every now and then one of these people who have been glued to Fox News will come on and start arguing over the facts, and it seems like a lot of people on the right have a different set of facts, and then there's the people in the middle, and those are the ones I'm concerned about, the people who aren't Fox News junkies or left-wing radio junkies or MSNBC junkies, who just pick up their information just at, you know, as they go through their daily lives, not really paying attention. And so they're getting so much bad information out there. How do we get to those voters?
Well, that's the job of the campaign on the ground, obviously, and that's the job of interviews like this. I mean, I'm happy to have... Look, I played Mitt Romney in the debate preparations with the president. I spent months reading Mitt Romney's positions so I could try to tackle the president. And I'm telling you, his numbers don't add up. The greatest difficulty I had was substantively trying to defend his position because it doesn't work. So the fact is that if you're, you know, the auto workers know what the president did. Romney would let them go bankrupt. He never would. He said that he lies about the private sector having cash available to the industry. It did not have cash. Even his own company, Bain, knows it didn't have cash. And so the president provided it. So the difference would have been, you know, millions of jobs lost if Mitt Romney had had his policy. That the America is coming back. We have the lowest job claims rate in 4 years, the lowest unemployment rate in 4 years, with one blip in this month with more people going into the marketplace. We have a record 5-year low in foreclosures. We have a stock market that's high. We've got consumer